We're going to take our Bibles to the book of John, as we did in Sunday school, but we're going to go to John chapter 3, and I'm going to read verse number 18. But before I do that, I want to kind of tell you why liberals do not like the book of John. Matter of fact, they'll call Matthew, Mark, and Luke the what they call the synoptic gospels, because they try to label, and especially German rationalism in the 19th century, try to do this type of thing, and people who are not real familiar with German rationalism would not understand what's going on. They also wouldn't understand why the new versions out there put things in poetic form. The reason they put a lot of the prophets and stuff in poetic form is they're trying to make it look like or trying to say that it's just figurative. And so they try to make it poetic when it's not poetic at all. But again, this is just a subterfuge that rationalism would use to try to make the Bible a myth. And so the book of John has been attacked, and it's been attacked by labeling, first of all, as I said, Matthew, Mark, Luke as synoptic gospels, basically saying Matthew, Mark, and Luke are a history, a true biography of the life of Jesus. They're okay with that because Matthew goes back to the fathers of the Jews, to the kings and of such. And Luke, they have no problem with, because Luke goes back to Adam. And so as long as you trace history back to Adam, and you trace history back to the fathers of the Jews, or like Mark, you don't basically trace Jesus back to anybody because he's a servant in the book of Mark. When we get to John, John's attacked for many reasons. Two major reasons. Number one, he traces the history back to eternity. He says that Jesus was God, and so he traces Jesus' genealogy back to eternity. Matter of fact, Jesus was not generated at all. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so that's an amazing verse there. So in the very outset of this of John, it becomes a book of attack, just like Genesis. Genesis is attacked because in the very first verse, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." That eliminates all other religions. And so John is attacked for one, because it goes back. It says Jesus was eternal, and that he was God. That he was God. Number two, the reason why the book is attacked is because John is going to make no compromise about how to get to heaven. He's not making any compromise at all. He's not concerned about, you know, John's going to tell you, and this is the verse we're going to read in verse number 18. Listen to what John says here. Of course, here's hate speech right here. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Listen to that hate speech there by the Apostle John. He says, if you don't believe, you're condemned. Now, how hateful is that? See, John's given the truth. And John, he doesn't mix words. And the reason that, one of the reasons this is because John is writing this book somewhere around 90 AD. Okay? So in other words, John has all 14 epistles of Paul right before him. All right, now Matthew probably only has about three or four, maybe two or three epistles. Matthew probably has 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, and he may have Galatians. Okay, Mark again may have 5 or 6 epistles. Luke has more. That's why when you get to Luke, you have more of a Gentile flavor, because Luke has probably about 8 or 9 epistles before him, and so Luke is writing later than Matthew and Mark. Okay, so this explains some things about that. But John is writing with all of the Paul's epistles before him. He's also writing he's writing in a more general scope. In other words, John, the temple of Jerusalem was destroyed in 70 AD. So we're 20 years after the temple has been destroyed. So John's scope is bigger. He's talking to the world. So he's addressing the entire world. He's not addressing the Jewish people. He's addressing the world. And he's telling people, if you don't believe, you are condemned. And so they hate John for that reason, because John says that Jesus is God, and that if you don't go through Jesus, then you are condemned. And so the liberal is going to hate the book of John. And so you're going to find that John is isolated oftentimes by liberals from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And it's isolated because they don't want to attest John as a... Of course, I'm preaching at home. We had to pause the video, the sermon here just for a minute. We've got a lot of things going on since we're not preaching from church, preaching from home. So often, sometimes we have to pause for a minute. But so John is isolated from Matthew, Mark, and Luke, because John is an offensive book to your liberal out there who doesn't want the way to salvation to be restricted just through Jesus Christ. All right, so. And so the book of John is a very tight book. Genesis also is a very tight book because, again, it lays out the beginning, just like, Genesis makes no compromise on creation. It makes no compromise on who God is. Okay, John makes no compromise on who the Savior is. He makes no compromise that Jesus is the Creator. He makes no compromise on these types of things. So your Gnostic and your international socialists and your liberal camps out there, are more likely to like the book of Matthew because Matthew is a book that doesn't talk about believing in Jesus as the only way oftentimes. The book of Matthew talks about a lot of doing good works because it's talking about the kingdom. So you have a lot of people out there trying to get to heaven on good works. Well, John does not allow you to get to heaven on good works. Have you ever read the book of John? The book of John says you'll get to heaven by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says that. Matter of fact, he says in John 20, verse number 21, he tells you why he wrote the book, that you might believe on Jesus as the Son of God. That's why he wrote the book. He wrote the book so that you would be saved through Jesus Christ. Now, a person who's in the flesh wants to believe that he himself can get to heaven. And see, that's the thing, and that's what we're talking about in Sunday school. The reason why you become a thief and a robber for not entering the door and trying to get up some of the way, the reason you become a thief and a robber is because you're stealing from God. And you're still in God's glory. And this is why Paul's gospel becomes so important and John's gospel becomes so important, is because none of us get the credit. See, Paul says, where is boasting then? It is excluded in Romans chapter 4, verse number 5. See, where is boasting? It is excluded. See, there's no boasting when Jesus Christ, when salvation becomes through Jesus and Jesus alone. We go out soul winning often. Of course, we haven't been able to go soul winning lately, but we ask people, if you died today, would you go to heaven? Are you 100% sure? We always, 90, I had to honestly say, 95% of the time, we get the wrong response to that question. That's because over nine out of 10 people in this world are trying to get to, and in this country, it's in the United States of America, are trying to get to heaven the wrong way. And they're trying to get to heaven based on works. They are going to hell from passages that have no reference to how to be born again in the church age. That's why we say 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15. Look it up. Don't trust me. Look at the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15. Remember that chapter. Look that up. You won't find it in NIV. You won't find it in new versions because they try to extract verses like this from the Bible. It says that you must rightly divide the word of truth. And so there are many people that are being taught that if you just be a good little boy, a good person, you can go to heaven. John doesn't say that. John says you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. The same message Paul preached. Paul preached that by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Again, you are stealing from the glory of God when you try to get to heaven based upon works. I don't care how many times you go to your mass. Matter of fact, that'll more likely lead you to hell than get you to heaven. You can go to church every Sunday or to whatever church you go to. It doesn't matter. That cannot get you to heaven. The only thing that can get you to heaven is the book of John and what Paul preached, and that is through Jesus and Jesus Christ alone. And so John is an attack book because it talks about the deity of Jesus Christ. Whenever the deity of Jesus Christ is spoken about in the Bible, you can bet that the Alexandrian cult is going to try to attack those words. And so when the Bible is changed, you know, the new versions do not change words like dog and house and home. They're not concerned about the words dog, house, and home. But when you get to the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16, they're going to change those types of things. God manifests in the flesh. They're going to change God to something else. They're trying to attack the deity of Christ. So John is an attacked book, and they'll try to make John separate from the other three gospels for this reason, is because they're trying to delegitimize John as a legitimate biography or history of the Lord's life. And so the book of John becomes a very important book. And so he says here in chapter 3 and verse 13, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse number 19, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Did you hear that? Here's why people do not come to the light and get saved, because they do not want their deeds reproved. We live in a world that wants to believe that we can make this world a better place. You'll get this propaganda through the magazines, Life, Newsweek. You'll get it through Time magazine. This entire scheme. Every president has to paint a good picture of the future for mankind in order to get elected. Popes have to do the same thing. They have to say we're going to bring peace on earth, you know, as a way to get people to buy into their system. And so you're living in a world that believes, well, we can make the world a better place. And the fact is, the only way this world can become a better place is by believing what God says in the Bible. And so when we try to eliminate the Bible from man's future, we try to eliminate the Bible from what we're trying to make happen on this world, when we eliminate the Bible, then we are already, we're already driving a nail in our coffin as mankind, because God tells us how to have a good future, and he tells us what's going to happen. Matter of fact, when we read the Bible, it does not give a positive outlook of our future. Matter of fact, it gives a very negative outlook on our future. If we're to read the Bible, and we're to go through the seven church ages, and we're to go to what God says in as we mentioned in a devotional recently, when we go to Nebuchadnezzar's image in Daniel chapter 2, we find that the world does not become better. Matter of fact, in the end, it degenerates. Jesus, the Bible says, Paul says, in the last days, men shall be lovers of themselves, scoffers and lovers of themselves, is what Peter says actually. Paul says, in the last days, men shall be lovers of themselves. Okay? And so both the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, and Jesus are not painting a very bright future for mankind. Matter of fact, they're telling us in the last days it will be more evil. That God says that the future will be degenerate. In other words, everything will degenerate. Matter of fact, creation teaches us that things do not become better; things become worse. Okay, entropy. It means that things are getting worse. Things are wearing out. We find this in an everyday life. If we leave a house to itself, we never do one thing to it. If we do nothing to the house, shut the door, shut the windows, and we just leave the house to itself, what's going to happen? The house is naturally going to degenerate. That's easy for you to say. It's going to degenerate. Okay, it's going to get worse. Somebody has got to take care of it in order for it to stay up to date. But even then, it's hard to keep something from tearing down or degenerating over years. Okay, things wear out. Now, the earth and the creation itself tells us that things wear out and things become worse and things do not become better. So it is very impractical to believe that things are getting better, because things are not getting better. Things are getting worse, because as man, we're getting away from God. We're not getting closer to God. And so be warned that God tells us in the Bible that the only way that we can truly understand God's way is by listening to what the Bible says. And so we should be warned. The Bible gives us warnings about the day in which we live. It gives us warnings about the philosophies of men. It gives us warnings about science, falsely so-called. It gives us warnings about the traditions of men. It gives us warnings about this thing so that we may stick to the Bible, read it, study it, and understand it, and believe what the Bible says, not what the world says. And so the Bible says they do not come to the light. Why? Because their deeds are reproved. You see, they want to think that people are getting saved because maybe they participated in a Salvation Army drive. Can I get an amen from the choir? They think, oh, well, I'm saved because I helped the Red Cross, you know, this past Christmas, you know. Or I'm saved because, you know, I do community efforts and things of that nature. And they believe they're getting saved through these two different types of things. But the Bible says, no, the issue is Jesus Christ. the issue is Jesus Christ. You know, nobody once shed their blood because they were given to a Red Cross, they gave a Red Cross donation. Look in the past history of the Fox's Book of Martyrs and things of that nature and show me one person who got killed because they were giving a donation to the Red Cross or to the Salvation Army or doing good works or things of that nature. No, nobody, or help, you know, nobody was shedding their blood over things like that. They were shedding their blood over doctrines in the Bible. They refused to believe things that other people believed, and because they were killed for their belief. They were killed for their faith. No Muslim's going to kill you because you donate to the Red Cross. They're not ever going to kill you because you donate to the Salvation. They're going to kill you because you that you cannot get to heaven but by Jesus Christ. You see, that's what separates us from other religions, is the fact that we have to believe what Jesus Christ said. We can't accept other religions. Well, I'm a good person. No, you're a sinner and you're going to hell if you don't believe in Jesus. Can I get an amen from the choir? You see, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you think you can get to heaven your way. Man can't climb up some other way. You got to get to heaven God's way. And so we go to John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting light. And so those who though want the truth, the Bible says, those people come to the light. You know, those are the type of people that have come to their end. Amen. They've come, a lot of the people that come to the come to Christ, they come to the gospel, it's because they've tried all those things and it failed. I remember before I was saved, you know, I used to say, well, you know, if I could just, you know, I can get everything in order today and I can just make things perfect today. And guess what would happen? Things would just go to heck. You know, things would just go, they would just go south quickly. Every time I thought, well, I can get my life in perfect order, this is going to be a perfect day. Guess what would happen? It would not be a perfect day. You see, failure after failure after failure ought to teach you that man can't climb up, man can't get to heaven. It's impossible. You need somebody to do it for you. And guess what? John has good news. Somebody has done it for you. For the Bible says He has given of His Son to us, Jesus Christ, so that we can have eternal life. He was perfect. I was talking to somebody about this this past week, you know. I guarantee you that Jesus' brothers must have been very frustrated. Okay, now Jesus had, I don't know, three or four brothers. He had some sisters, you know, I think, you know, five or six siblings. And Mark chapter 6 and verse number 3 talks about this. But, and sorry, we're back. We just paused it just for a minute here. But going back to Jesus' brothers, he had some brothers and sisters. And from the Bible account, we only, James is the only one that seems to have ever gotten saved. And 1 Corinthians 15:7, the Bible tells us that Jesus made a personal appearance to James, the Lord's brother. He became the pastor of the church at Jerusalem. And so he did get saved, and became a pastor. But the other brothers in Christ's family from the Bible and reading the Bible do not seem to have ever gotten saved. But anyway, you can imagine, though, the frustration that the brothers in Jesus' family must have had. You know, for instance, you know, here the brothers go to the kitchen to get a cup of coffee, and they come back, and Jesus already got His cup of coffee at the table, you know. I mean, He didn't have to make it. He's already sitting there with His cup of coffee, or she's out in there cooking dinner, and they all get their plates, and they come back to the table, and He's already got His plate, so it must have been pretty frustrating to live with somebody who was perfect. But Jesus was perfect in every way. And life ought to teach us, as human beings, we can't attain to that perfection. Jesus kept the law. The Bible says He kept everything His Father said He did. Everything His Father said not to do, He did not do. In every way He obeyed, He did not omit anything that He should not have omitted. He did not do anything that He should not have done. He was perfect in every way. And Jesus showed mankind His failure. Matter of fact, He said in John 7:7, the same book we've been preaching from today, He says, the world can't hate you, but it hateth Me because I testify unto it that the works thereof are evil. He said in Matthew chapter 5, and I think it's verse number 11, He told His disciples that they were evil. I mean, Jesus did not have a very good measure of man. You know, Pythagoras came up with a philosophy, man is the measure of all things. Boy, was he not an idiot. I mean, boy, I tell you, some of these ancient philosophers, oh yeah, the answer is in 590 BC. Yeah, the answer is in 590 BC. Yeah, go to that kind of philosophy. But, I mean, let me quote it again. Pythagoras says, man is the measure of all things. No, man Man is the measure of death and sin. Man is the measure of nothing. Man is just a little nothing on this earth. And but that's where your international socialism comes from. That's where your Marxism comes from. You know, Karl Marx broke his neck on Acts 4:35 that talked about sharing. They always use the Bible for their own ends. But when it comes to things that they can't agree with, they just cut everything out. That's what the devil does. And I'm going to tell you something. A lot of people are going to hell because they cut the things out of the Bible they don't like. If you don't keep it all intact and keep it all there, then I guess you can just go to hell some other way. Because I'm going to tell you, the Bible will send you to hell if you're not wanting to believe the things that God says, where He says it, for whom He says it for. And so what I'm saying this morning is the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. He says in John 14:6, again, we're staying in the same book. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. Again, we're staying in John this morning to testify to his gospel, that Jesus is telling us that the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ and Him alone. And so we won't belabor the point this morning on this topic here, but we just want to send out this message of the book of John and testify to the fact that John is preaching in 90 AD and he's giving a true history of Jesus Christ. He may not go back to Adam. He may not go back to a Jewish father. He may go back to the very beginning, but my friend, that's where it all starts. It starts with Jesus Christ speaking the world into existence. The Bible says in Hebrews 1:3 that Jesus Christ Himself upholds all things by His power. So the Bible says not only Jesus Christ create everything, the Bible says in Hebrews 1:3 that He sustains everything as well. And so Jesus Christ sustains life in this earth. He upholds everything by His power. He is omniscient. He can hear every prayer of every person, all 7.5 billion people in this world today. He can hear every prayer and every thought simultaneously at one time right now. He's everywhere and He can see every thought, hear every word, and see every plan and every device all simultaneously at one time, because He is God. That's Jesus Christ. That's why He can see Nathaniel under the tree when Nathaniel was meditating, and He knew where he was. And oftentimes we can see through the scriptures that He exercised His deity while He was on this earth confined to His flesh. And so I want to tell you something, my friend. The Bible says He is God of gods. And we go to Revelation chapter 19, verse number 16, and this is for anybody who might be a Jehovah's Witness. The Bible says King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That word Lord of Lords is capitalized. It's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, meaning that He is Jehovah of Jehovahs. That's a good reference point for anybody who knows Jehovah's Witnesses. The Revelation 19:16, Lord of Lords. It's not lowercase O, R, and D, but it's capital O, R, D, meaning He's Jehovah of Jehovahs. And so I want to say this morning that John testifies to his deity, to his godhood. The Bible testifies to his place in the Trinity. And so we exalt the deity of Christ. We exalt his place in the Godhead. And we exalt his what he did for us and his love. We exalt his salvation and his plan for salvation for us. So in closing this morning, I hope that our sermon has taught you that the book of John is a very important part of salvation. It teaches us that Jesus is the light of the world and we get saved through him. I hope this has gone out to bless you today. May God bless you. And if you're not saved, please ask you today, make that decision. Jesus is coming soon. The trumpet's going to sound, and when it does, it's going to be too late for you. And avoid hell today by receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior. May God bless you, and may you have a great afternoon.